Thank you. My name's Kimmy. I'm a compulsive overeater and a bulimic, and I'm happy to be here tonight. Thank you so much, Quarantina, for asking me to speak. Welcome to everybody who's new, and especially Holiday, welcome back to your second meeting. It's a great thing to go to your first meeting, but it's even better to go to your second. So congratulations. I hope I say something that's useful. And just remember that there's thousands of meetings a week. And so if there's one that's not right for you, luckily there's thousands more that you can go. And I really encourage you to go to as many as possible so that you can hopefully hear your story and hear something that keeps you coming back, you know, and something that you can relate to. And welcome to anybody who's new or new to this meeting. Sometimes it's hard for people who are new to say hello, and I just want to welcome you. And no matter what your issue is with food, no matter what it is, you're welcome here. We're happy to have you. So what else was I going to say about that? Okay, so there's a couple of things about me just to get started is that, especially because this was helpful to me when I was new, is because I would go to OA meetings and half the time I wouldn't know what they were talking about. And just so everybody knows, I have never been to this meeting, so I'm glad to be here. There's all kinds of different meetings, all kinds of different formats. And that's why it's really a luxury to have any kind of meeting, but we're so lucky that we have the opportunity to go to a million different kinds of meetings, especially if the pandemic brought us one thing, it's that. It's the power of Zoom, and we can go anywhere, anytime, and find the help that we need. And so I hope that you find it somewhere. But I've never been to this meeting, so I'm glad to be here. And thanks again for having me. I am a bulimic and a compulsive overeater. I have been coming to OA probably on and off since about 2009. But I have only been abstinent. And when I was new, this was hard for me. So I'm just going to explain what that means to me. There is the definition put out by OA. It's refraining from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors is the very vague definition of abstinence. But, and I'm only speaking for me, guys, this is just my story. Okay. But what I believe is that a lot of times we hear people at meetings who say I'm abstinent, and it's different for everybody. So my abstinence is based on my behaviors. And what that means when I say I am abstinent is that I have not binged and purged. Those are my most dangerous behaviors. I don't binge and purge, and I used to. So I have a day when I stopped binging and purging, and that's my abstinent date. And that date this time, and I've had many, has been November 6, 2016. So when I say I'm abstinent, that's my abstinent date. But you could go to another meeting and hear a lot of different things. So if you're ever curious, you can just ask that person, what does abstinence mean to you? In fact, it's a great outreach call when you're thinking of things to say to people on the phone. That's a great question. What does abstinence mean to you? A lot of people base their abstinence on food plan. For me, it was important as a newcomer to understand the difference between what's a food plan, what's abstinent, what does it mean? Like, because some people base their abstinence on food choices. And I used to do that for a long time. I don't eat certain food. Am I allowed to say foods here? Okay. I don't eat certain foods that make me crazy and have a compulsive, I have a brain and a body that is a physical, I have a physical reaction to certain foods. And so for me, this disease is a two-part disease. One is it's a physical allergy, and two, it's a mental obsession, very much like alcohol. So alcoholics, they don't drink alcohol because when they put alcohol into their system, they react in a way that's not normal. That's the same way with me with certain foods. So when I put sugar and flour, and just this is just me, sugar, flour, and corn make me nuts. And I don't mean nuts like, oh, I eat too many Oreos. I mean nuts like I'm going to kill you. You know, like I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill me. I'm going to drive around in my car all night looking for food. I'm going to hate myself. I'm going to cry all day. I'm not going to be able to go to work because I can't stop eating. I'm going to eat myself until I'm sick, till I have to go to the hospital. Like I'm going to eat even if I have a gluten allergy, even if I'm a veterinarian, not a veterinarian, but whatever. You know, like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if I'm supposed to be somewhere at 5 o'clock. If my addiction takes hold, I'm done. Much like a crackhead. And believe me, I know what a crackhead is because I was one. So this is how it was for me. I eat certain foods and I'm crazy. What may work for me may kill you. So like, I may not be able to eat sugar. Carol may be able to eat sugar like a normal human being. My hat's off to Carol. Great job, Carol. That is not my story. So I'm here to share my story. And so what I also know is that when I eat these trigger foods, those three in particular, then I tend to binge and purge, and then I'm no longer abstinent. But just to be clear, if I was to eat sugar tonight, I would still be abstinent as long as I didn't binge and purge. I don't know. I always like to say a little bit of that when I have extra time, because that was really important for me to know. What's even more important is to have a sponsor so that I'm not making these decisions alone, so that I'm not talking about what's a food plan, what's abstinence. Well, I don't have to figure that out alone, because I did try to figure that alone for a lot of my life and it looked like dieting. And that didn't get anywhere, except it led me into a place called Overeaters Anonymous. You know what I mean? Because I don't know about anybody else, but like, I wish they had a different name, because nobody wants to come here, right? It's not like the happiest place on earth. It's not Disney World. We come here because we have a problem. I did. I came here because I had a problem and I didn't know what was wrong with me. And for years and years, I thought I could figure it out. So I have a sponsor. Her name is Monica, and she knows where I'm at. She probably forgot, but I have a sponsor and I am accountable to that sponsor, and I sponsor other women. I have a date. There's no vagueness. When am I abstinent? What's my abstinent date? What does that mean to me? There's no vagueness, okay? Because vagueness to me means lying to myself. And I did that for a million years. And that's the first part of the program for me, is I got to get honest about what I'm doing with food or what I'm not doing. Some people come here and they're not doing something with food. For me, what am I doing with food in secret? What am I laying down at night full of shame, hating myself, wanting to kill myself over? What am I doing? Why can't I eat normally? What is wrong with me? Why do I do these things? Why do I hate myself? And if I'm going to eat all this stuff, then why am I not okay with it? I'm not okay with it, you know? And so that's it. A date, a sponsor, and I have a home group. There's a lot of OA meetings in the world, you know, but you got to go where you find your people and where people are talking your language. And also, I like to believe where people are going to make you feel good about yourself. I went to a lot of meetings where people didn't make me feel really great about myself. And I felt shamed and I felt like judged. And I didn't need that because I was already doing that to myself. So I wanted to go somewhere. And I woke up one day, and that's a long, well, I'll probably get to that. But anyway, my home group in OA is Better Together. And we are a meeting that meets every night of the week, so that we're never alone too long. That's what the motto is there. But okay, so those are things about me. What I can tell you is that I am 54 years old. I just had a birthday. I came into OA after many years sober in AA. I've been sober a long time in AA. I loved AA. Well, let me back up even before that, I'll tell you. Okay, so I grew up in a lot of chaos. I grew up in a lot of dysfunction, a lot of neglect, a lot of abuse. My mother was mentally ill. She was probably incapable of raising three children. My father left when I was six for another woman. We stalked him. Like, it was crazy. Like, my mom was crazy. She'd wake us up in the middle of the night and be like, we're going on an adventure. And we'd go spray paint my father's house, or we'd go steal his car, and we stole. We were really poor, so we stole a lot as a family. Like, let's all go to 7-Eleven and steal food, or like the Jewel. We have Jewel. I'm in Chicago. I live in Chicago. I'm born and raised in Chicago, so I'm in Chicago. And so some of the references may not translate, but we just stole. We stole. We were very poor. We lived on food stamps. Our lights were turned off a lot. My mom would leave notes in the meat section as we took our round steak and M&Ms, and we just we just say the way that I ate growing up was all junk food, was all whatever we could get. We lived on fast food, KFC, pizza. Like that's what we did. My mom was poor and very depressed, and my mom stayed in her bed most of the time, and we were sent out to get food. My mom was diagnosed with schizophrenia, so I never knew what we were going to get. Sometimes I got fun mom who let's go steal a swimming pool and let's go do some crazy stuff. And we're going to have a good time and we're going to go on a road trip until the car breaks down. And then we're going to figure out how to get home and we're going to go camping or we're going to go to Naked Women Music Fest. Like it was crazy, you know, or it was scary mom, you know, get up and punish me or I'm the problem and tie me to my bed, you know, like it was crazy. It was bad. It was scary. Sometimes it wasn't. In my family, I looked like the problem early. I was a very, I just had a lot of problems. And some of those problems I didn't know the cause of until like a couple of years ago, really. Like some things I remember my first sponsor in AA, Tricia, said, be grateful for the stuff that you don't remember because what you do remember is pretty bad. So what you don't remember is probably horrific, you know? And it is. And I you know, like a lot of people come to OA. What I found about OA is a lot of people in the 12-step programs, they come from dysfunctional homes. That's nothing really new. Some people come from great homes, great families who love them and cared for them. But I find that in OA, my experience with OA is there's a special kind of shame attached to us. And a lot of that shame comes from certain types of abuse. At least that was it. I don't know. I know that from the first time I can remember, my first feeling was ashamed of who I was. I never liked myself. I never thought I was okay. I had problems since I was little. My mom has told me in her lifetime that she starved me as a baby because I cried too much and I was eating too much and she was worried I was going to get fat as a newborn. When I was 3 years old, I was, I just was abused in a really bad way by a bad man. And that kind of abuse kept going on. And I've had tons of abuse like that. I don't know if this makes me a compulsive overeater, but sometimes I pray and I feel moved to say things and this is what's coming out right now. So, and I believe for me, it's like, I had to get clean from the drugs and alcohol, and then I could deal with my food. And then once I started dealing with my food, all this other stuff underneath it came. And for me, the underneath stuff was a lot of sexual abuse, to be honest. Sex and food for me, something was wrong with both of them, and I didn't know what it was. So what happened to me is I spent years of my life. I didn't get sober until I was 34. I had lived a hard life before that. I had been, became a ward of the state. I was taken from my mom's home. My brother and sister were not. So I was the problem. I went to counseling from a little kid. Nobody knew what was wrong with me. It just looked like I was acting out. I was always in the special school. I was hyperactive. My mom used to give me her medicine to control my behavior. I was locked up, tied up, all kinds of things happened. And I wanted to die. I tried to kill myself a lot as a little kid. I tried to eat myself to death as a little kid. We had locks on the pantry. We had locks on the phone because I would call 1-900. That's another thing about me. I'm a total addict, right? Like food is what we're talking about here, but I am an addict through and through, and I will use anything because my disease centers in my mind. And it just happens to be hyper-focused on the food. Food was my first drug of choice. It was my first love. It was what I was desperate for. What I was really desperate for was love and attention and validation, right? But I'm looking for it in everything else. And I can't find it. I'm not getting it. Nobody cares about me in this family. I'm being tossed around. I went to foster care, to group homes, and then I ran away from group homes. I never went to high school. In grade school, I had a lot of problems. I was in the special class. I was not allowed back in my family, and I just swore I would be good, and I could not be good. And I ate and ate and ate, and I stole to eat. I was desperate to get food. I did whatever I could. Somewhere along the lines in grade school, I found drugs and alcohol. My eating continued like that didn't seem to matter. A lot of people you know, they put down the food and take a break and focus on the drugs and alcohol. That was not my story. I was drugs and alcohol and food and boys. Like, that's, let me rub up against anything. I'm going to eat everything. I'm going to ingest anything. Give me some pills. And it might start as innocent as like a Dexedrine, and then it's pot, and then it's whatever. And by the time I was 34, I could not stop drinking. I'm going to back up even more. So I ran away from this group home when I was like 15 or 16. And I went to live with a girl who turned out to be a prostitute on the west side of Chicago. And that's a bad neighborhood. And I didn't have, but see, I didn't have any real fear. I mean, now I'm like riddled with fear. When I got sober, I was riddled with fear. But before that, I just didn't have any value of myself. I was a girl with no self-esteem, and it showed in everything I did. I could not stop eating.
About 15 minutes. Sorry.
Okay. So anyway, let me fast forward, because it is an OA meeting. Okay. But I just want to say that, like, I hated myself all through my life. And I landed into AA by a miracle at 34 years old. I was not living a good life. I was doing all kinds of destructive things. I hated myself. My mirrors were covered. I was using SOS pads to take showers. I could not stop drinking. I could not stop smoking crack. And I make this joke a lot. My disease is progressive, as a lot of you know. It's progressive. It's like it starts out small and then it becomes bigger. It doesn't get better. I don't change. I don't suddenly develop willpower and I'm okay. Like, this is a disease. And that's the first thing we got to wrap our head around here, is that this is a disease and I can't do this alone. It's not just because I'm a bad person. And for years and years, I thought that, right? And okay, so I get to AA and I... I loved it. I loved it, everything about it. These were the first, I was talking today to my partner and I was like, AA was the first place where I could feel like I did anything right. Like, I wasn't good at anything. I couldn't hold a job. I couldn't do math. I couldn't come home when I was supposed to. I couldn't follow the law. I couldn't do anything I was. When I got sober, I didn't have friends. I had people in the bar named Pookie, you know, like I didn't have anything going on. My family wasn't talking to me. I felt terrible. And even though I was doing a lot of drugs and drinking, I was like 278, 80 pounds, and I could not stop eating. And so I get sober and I meet my first sponsor, Trisha, who saved my life. And she talked to me about being self-centered. Who knew? I didn't know. And she told me a lot. She talked to me. She taught me how to get a higher power. I mean, what happened to me is I had a miracle in AA, and I just feel like I'm feeling like I'm failing this because I'm not getting to the solution fast enough. So now I'm a little in my head, which is another part of our disease, newcomers. This is what we do. We start thinking about ourselves and then we can't even focus on the job at hand. Like, just tell the truth. So I came to AA and I took to it. I liked it right away. Of course I liked it, because they were the first people who said, we're going to love you until you love yourself. Let me show you how to get out of yourself. Let me show you how to stop thinking about yourself. Go help some other people. Here's a book. The solution's in the book. Call me every day. Call three people a day. You know, that started in AA. But at 10 years sober, so now my whole life changed and things got better in AA. Don't get me wrong. Things got better. You know, I went back to school. I got an education. I got sheets on my bed, you know, like I could support myself. I could get a job barely. I wasn't ever really good at, I'm not good at the job thing, but anyway, I could like take care of myself. I did a fourth and a fifth step. I could look at myself in the mirror. I could learn how to help people. I got really involved. I threw myself into AA and I lost weight. And I lost weight because this is what happened to me. At 2 years sober, I had some kind of brain tumor, not a brain tumor, a tumor that was pressing on my optic nerve. And the doctor said, you are morbidly obese. And the only thing to get rid of this certain kind of tumor is give up sugar. I'm like, are you kidding me, doctor? It's really because I'm overweight. Like, are you kidding me? But anyway, so this doctor said, you got to give up sugar. So I had a spiritual experience about drug and alcohol. And I got down on my knees and I begged to this God that I suddenly believed in because of AA. And I said, please, I cannot do this. I cannot give up sugar by myself. Please take this away. And And that's what happened. And it wasn't like, poof, I don't want sugar the next day. It was like, I wanted sugar, but I was willing to do something different. I was willing to call three people a day. I was willing to call a sponsor and say, hey, I want to eat sugar. I want to eat sugar and I'm going to really cry, because what I don't want sugar. I want sugar, but I really want love and validation and understanding and self-esteem. And I want to feel something inside of me. And I think that this thing outside of me is going to give that to me. So I start praying and begging God. And I, one day at a time, I don't eat sugar and I lose a bunch of weight. And then I get into exercise, whatever. 10 years sober. I'm a perfect weight. I'm looking good, right? I finally lost weight. Some guy's interested in me. Of course, he's a loser. Mr. Wrong, because I can't pick anybody because I have no value of myself, but I think I'm cured because I have this nice body, because I always thought if I get the body, I'm going to be okay. And I remember Trisha, my AA sponsor, said to me, you know, one day you're just going to be another person who lost weight. They're not going to be making commercials about you. They're not going to give you all this attention. You better just get it together, because anything you put before the program and before God, you're going to lose. And what happened is I got all caught up in this other thing over here. And that ended, because once I was willing to let him go, then I fell apart. And I gained all the weight back. I got hurt running and I couldn't exercise and I gained the weight back. And I had sponsors who were telling me all the time, go to OA, because I would go to AA meetings and I would cry about my life. And I went to OA and I hated it. I hated it. I was like, what? This isn't like AA. AA is awesome. This is like, shoot me. They're all sitting down looking at their hands. They all look ashamed. Like they're all overweight. I don't want what you have. I already have what you have. Like I'm miserable too, you know? But I would go and I would come and I would tell them how to do things, because of course I'm the queen of AA in Chicago and everybody knows my name, but I can't stop eating. I can't stop hating myself. I can't look in the mirror. And at 10 years sober, my friends are happy, joyous, and free, and I want to kill myself. And my AA sponsor is taking me to treatment because I can't stop throwing up. So something had to change. So what I did was I came to OA kicking and screaming, but there were certain things I was willing to do. I was willing to pray on my knees every day and ask for help. I was willing to call three people a day, even if I didn't want to call them. I was willing to go to the meeting. I was willing to read how it works. Sometimes I was willing to work the steps. It was slower with the food. I wasn't always willing to give up the food. It was my best friend. I loved it. And it made me feel better for a second until it poisoned me and made me feel like crap about myself. And I don't know. I don't know what happened. I don't know why I'm different today. I don't, you know, yeah, I lost weight, but let me tell you something. A metamorphosis happened to me. You know, I mean, lots of things happened even in the last 5 years, but I will tell you that more importantly, what happened to me is I loved myself and I never loved myself. I have to tell you this quick thing. Okay. This is what happened to me. I went to California. We don't have time to find out why I went there, but I went there. My mom died. That was the catalyst for a lot of things. My mom died, who I had a beautiful relationship with, who I learned how to take care of my mother, this woman that could never take care of me. I learned how to be the daughter because I knew that God was my real parent. And I didn't need my parents to be my parents. But I went to California and I went for a job. I thought that's where I'm going to be happy. That's where I'm going to be healthy. That's where I'm going to get that body back. That's where everything's going to go. And so I packed up my whole life and I moved to California for a job. And in 7 days, I lost that job. So now I'm in California without a job, without any money. And I had unemployment, but I mean, I was all right. But anyway, so, and I'm like, what am I going to do? And I felt like God got me alone and I broke open and I fell apart in ways that I never thought possible. And this peeling of the onion came, and a lot of this underneath stuff, a lot of this abuse stuff, a lot of the therapy stuff, and therapists have been talking to me about an inner child for a million years. I don't know about you, but I hated hearing inner child, self-care, shoot me, right? Like I didn't want to talk about it, but I started subscribing to this inner child thing. And I'm like fast forwarding a lot, but I was one of those people that fight in group therapy about this. I don't like talking about this stuff. But I had come to remember a lot of stuff that was terrible that was happening to me. And it was coming out of me. And I felt like it was physically coming out of me. And I was having all these, like, it looked like seizures almost. Like I couldn't control my body. And And so I fell apart in California, and I had this dream of this little girl in a cage, and this little girl was dirty and she was locked. She was chained to the cage and she was about 3 years old. And this girl represented me. And some of these things are true. I have been in a cage. I have been 3 years old. I have been dirty. I have been starving. I have been hungry. And it's in like this dirty basement and it's down a hallway. And I'm like me as an adult. And I see this little girl chained like one of those dogs in the commercials where they wanted you to give them money for those sick dogs. So I run down the hallway and I get this girl and I'm in front of this little girl and it's like so real to me, you guys. And I open this cage and she's like cowering because she's traumatized and terrified. And I unlock her and I say, come here. And I grab her up and I'm holding her and I'm saying to her, it is so real to me. And I say, I'm going to get us out of here. I'm going to get us out of here. And I'm going to take care of you. And I'm not going to feed you poison. I'm not going to make you sleep with bad guys. I'm not going to call you names. I'm not going to make fun of you anymore. And I think some other things. But I just was like, it's me and you, girl. It is me and you. And I am going to let's get the hell out of here. Let's run for our lives. And you guys, that was March of last year. And that's what I did. And I don't know. I don't know if I was dreaming or awake, but all I know is that I don't talk negatively to myself anymore. I don't even use the F word, you know, like about myself. Like I don't use that. I don't eat the same way. I don't think the same way. I don't look the same way. I don't sound the same way. We got to hurry up. All I know is that OA gave me a deeper relationship with my higher power that helped me solve my problem. And if you're new and you're like, I don't know what you're talking about, this is what you do. You go to meetings and you call three strangers a day. You get on your knees and you pray to a God that you don't believe in because it sounds crazy, right? And every time you have a craving, you believe in that, you call and you pick up before you eat that craving. And you get a sponsor and you start reading the book with them. Read any book. It doesn't even matter what book. Like, just read a book with this person and call them and say, I don't know what I'm doing and I need some help. And I'm telling you, the weight is the least of your problems, okay? Because something else is under there and you got to get it out so that you can live free of this. And so my job, my life, my real life's work is to help other people, to help other people feel okay in themselves. I'm sorry I took up this whole meeting. I really wanted to hear from you. But That's all I really have to say. I'm very thankful for one more day of abstinence, one more day of sobriety. I'm grateful for all the people that helped me get to where I'm at. I'm grateful for all the people I get to help. I'm grateful that you're even still here and willing to listen to me. Thank you so much.
My name is Trisha. I'm Kimmy's old AA sponsor. And what a miracle. I feel so blessed to have been able to listen in today. I was such a good sponsor. That's what really strikes me. and what a miracle you are. I mean, I will never forget. I had such a high bottom and I never met anyone like Kimmy. I didn't even know what I was dealing with. I never had sponsored anyone either. And so just like hearing her say all that stuff about what you have to do every day, like, it was just kind of giving me the chills and like, I don't, you know, it's everything I told her to do. And she's still out there, like, just, you know, helping so many people. And like, in my AA life, I didn't drink, but I did drugs and I'm still too proud to like rejoin the group. So, I do feel like my eating is like a problem, especially because I have like chronic pain and inflammation. And so I think a lot of my problem is that I just don't take good care of myself. And so I'm not like overeating or worried about it. I just eat like so bad and I'm just worried about, and then I'm in pain and it's like, there's kind of a proven correlation, I think. But anyway, so I'm grateful to be here and I think I'll start attending OA meeting. So thanks a lot, Kim. It was so great. Like that, you're a miracle, and I love you so much. And now Kim, my sponsor.
Thanks, Trisha. I love you too. I see Dan has his hand up.
My name's Dan, a compulsive overeater. I have a question, Kimmy. I've heard you say before that the opposite of addiction is connection. And I never heard that. I mean, I heard it outside of OA. I'm just wondering where did you hear that? Because it really, the first time I went to Better Together, where did you hear it?
Well, to be honest with you, Dan, I felt like I just said it one day as kind of a fluke, like as a motivating thing. But then I've heard it in AA too, so I know it wasn't mine. But as far as Better Together, it came from me. And people were like, wow, that's so deep. And I was like, I think I must have heard it. And everything I've brought to Better Together, the OA meeting, is because of my 20 years in AA, because I was greeted like that. I came into my first AA meeting and they put their arms around me and said, they said my favorite words, we're going to breakfast. Do you want to go? We're having a buffet. And I followed the food and I went to all my AA stuff. And when I came to OA, nobody's greeting each other. People aren't sponsoring. They're not doing a service. But Trisha said, you better go find that girl with 2 days and teach her all you know. You better go make some friends, build your army. And I wanted that for OA. And now we have this community. It's amazing. I don't even go and look at it. It has nothing to do with me anymore. It's like, it's a community, you know? That works. Because we can't do this alone.
Carmen.
Hi. Carmen, what am I? I am an emotional addict with a food addiction. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I could relate to a whole lot of what you talked about. My mother was manic depressive and a lot of stuff happened because of that. But anyway, I have a question. Something I have wanted to ask since returning to OA and hearing this said, and I'm like, that's not my experience. And I was at a meeting today that the lead was about this very question, that AA or other recovery programs don't, what do they say, transfer or, you know.
The credits don't transfer.
Credits, thank you. Can you touch on that? And you did a little, but just that question itself, as far as it goes with OA.
Yeah, well, I think that there's a lot of double winners, right? Because it's like a whack-a-mole. Our disease is a whack-a-mole, you know? We give up the drugs and the alcohol, but then we're eating, we're shopping, we're sleeping with the wrong guys, we're gambling, we're porno stars, you know, like whatever. It's like, because the disease centers in our mind. And if we got a long-term in AA, we get cocky. I got a lot of spiritual pride. Trisha taught me that. You got a lot of spiritual pride. You think you're running this, you know, you're the mayor of AA and Chicago, like you're the most important person in the Alcoholics Anonymous group, like what is that getting you, you know, like I'm an award winner. But anyway, I came to OA thinking I know it all, and that knowing it all is going to keep me sick and alone and separate from my partners. And I didn't know it all. You don't know a lot because you're 10 years sober and you're 265 pounds. Not that there's anything wrong with you. Not that the weight is a matter, but that I was hating myself and I'm wearing all black and I haven't had a relationship in a million years. P.S. I'm in love, by the way, right now with a man who's worthy of me. And, but you know, and I can't stand anybody. I hate you.